Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
Good evening, and God bless each and every one who tuned in tonight. Again, we would love to just reach out and just give everyone a hug and say that God love you, and I do too. We coming to you tonight, and we're speaking from the Afrocentric position, but just not the Afrocentric position, but the true history of mankind. Now, when you study mankind, mankind didn't originate in Europe. It did not originate in Europe. And I'm going to give you different things that you could look up, because these are scientists, these are anthropologists, these are paleontologists, these are geneticists that are Caucasian that came up with this. So it's nothing that blacks are trying to make up, that we are, that life originated in Africa from some real dark-skinned people. The first I would like to talk to you about is Australopithecus, and that's it spells Australopithecus. Australopithecus. Now it talks about a lady that they found fossils, now Lucy. Now it started off when these two paleontologists were looking for rocks and other things, and Don Johansson and Tom Guy. And while they were looking for rocks, they came upon this small body of a small hominid, which was discovered, and it provided our early human relative habitat. Well, that it told us that even 1.2 million, 1.7 million years ago, that they walked upright. They wasn't walking like we thought that they were monkeys, but they walked upright. And see, the story begins and takes its shape in November of 1974 in Ethiopia. And with this discovery of the skeleton of a small nicknamed female named Lucy. More than 40 years later, Australopithecus africanus is one of the best representative species of the hominid Homo fossils that were found. These hominids lived 3.7 million years to 3 million years ago, and they all came from what we call East Africa. The appearance projected the face and upright stance and a mixture. It seemed to almost resemble sort of an ape, but it was a human being. And very short and small, but it was a species. In 1978, 4 years after the discovery of Lucy, naming the southern ape Afar, is in the region of Ethiopia. Now, Australopithecus, or whatever they call Afar, or the genus Australopithecus, is a group of small body and small brain early hominid species of human being, and that were capable of upright walking and well adapted to traveling long distance on the ground. They were not monkeys, are not after travel very long distance, nomadic like. The species of Australopithecus, a group which also included Australopithecus. And all this talks about, like, in Kenya, Australopithecus, they talk about propagate rise to two or more recent homemade groups. And it talks about paranthropologists about 2.4 million years ago. But all of this happened, these fossils were found in Africa. And that's Australopithecus. And with all fairness and everything else, we have to understand why life, it did not originate in Europe, but the oldest fossils are found in Africa, around Oman, around Ethiopia, and in Kenya. Also in around Lake Victoria in Tanzania. Now, Lucy was the first hominid fossil that they found to become a household name. A skeleton, they found 40% of a complete skeleton at the time of discovery. She was by far the most complete early hominid known to man. The paleontologist that found them again is Dawn Johansson, was exploring a ravine in the valley of Hadar River in a far region of northwestern Ethiopia when he spotted an arm bone fragment poked out of a slope. Johansson later recounted that his pulse quickened as he relished it belonged to, he thought it was a monkey, but he found out it was a hominid. And the team found more and more fragments. They began to appreciate the discovery and extraordinary skeleton. The full excavation was 3 weeks. The skeleton consists of 47 of the 207 bones. Now this is now, the name to not allude, the skull, it was called Lucy because of the Beatles record about Lucy. See, affectionate name Lucy come from the Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, which was often playing from the team radio in the camp when they found the skull and other components of Lucy. This tells us how did Lucy die, the sea of bones, and the CAT scan revealed fractures in her shoulder joint and arms smaller to those observed in people who fall from a great height. So it talks about it that it indicated that many of the breaks occurred pre-mortem. In other words, it happened around the time of death rather than over time as the bone became, you know, fossils. But now Lucy is the oldest known fossil that was found. And that's called, and why I'm saying this is because it's very important that we understand Australopithecus. Now, Australopithecus is not the only one. We also have another scientist that was looking for things, and he found them, not just Lucy, but later on it was found that Professor Louis Leakey, he also discovered not too far from that and around then, it's called Zanzanthropa. He found that was around Tanzania in skull in O.D. Gorge. And that's also in East Africa. All these fossils are found in East Africa. And his name was Louis Leakey, and his wife's name was Mary Douglas Leakey. And they also found in February 1913. He was a British paleontologist. Now, he discovered these first proconsul skulls of an early ape. But in finding that around that O.D. Gorge, he also found several fossils of humans that dated way back that were not apes. They also, he found different artifacts that showed that as far back as these people lived, that they were able to make stone hatchets. They had arrowheads and pottery. That the people were not apes, that they were intelligent. But the reason I'm saying this is because all too often in schools today, our children are not taught that really life came from Africa. And even those who are Caucasian are a mutation of African. Now this is nothing that I'm trying to make up. This is all said in the study of Professor Leakey. This is said with the anthropologists and archaeologists and all those who, paleontologists, excuse me, who dig up the bones and stuff of dinosaur and other ancient animals and humans as they excavate. But they found out when they studied the study of man that man originated in Africa. But and to go even more further in depth, now, there's something that came later on and which was even more important than mitochondria, even more important than Lucy. This was more important. It's called Mitochondria Eve. She's noted as the mother of all human beings. Now, she would they found this most robust statistical examination due to our specific genetic links. Mitochondria Eve is the maternal ancestor to all living humans today. This is found in towards South Africa. And then it was confirmed that she lived 200,000 years ago. The Rice University study was based on a side-by-side comparison of 10 human genetic models that each aimed to determine when Eve lived using very different sets of assumptions and ways. Now, the thing about this, it tells that using this mitochondrial DNA, engaging the relativeness of it in the way of genetics to simplify, you know, the finding of common ancestors that lived long ago. That is because the entire human genome contains more than 200,000 genomes. But now when they, her being mitochondrial DNA, she is the matriarch of all living humans. Now they say all humans today, to today's date, all contemporary humans carry distillated DNA. Mitochondria is just a very tiny organelles that serve as energy factors inside the human cell. Now, when we look at this, everyone carry Eve. So when they look back on it, they know that everyone comes from Eve because she is the maternal mother of all living. Mitochondria Eve is not saying that she was the first female to ever live, but that they was able to get that mitochondria, that DNA from her, that human genetics, that mitochondria Eve is, you know, she's the maternal mother matriarchal of all of us. I don't care it wouldn't matter if you're from Japan, China, or wherever you're from, Europeans, we all carry her DNA. And what's found about it is that it's found the DNA as a result, that when they analyzed this, they found out that black women carry this. And they use her as being the mother of all living human beings. Now, when you look at her being the mother of all living human beings, you have to confirm that if she's from Africa, you know who she is, the maternal ancestors of all living humans called Mitochondria Eve, that she lived over 2,000 years ago. Now, this is before that they came up with what they call out of Africa, that happened around 70,000 to 100,000 years ago. It's called out of Africa. That's when man began to go into Asia, and later on they started going as further as to go to Europe. Now, everyone have a mitochondrial DNA, and those that have it are the humans today carry mitochondrial DNA from the mother of all, and that is mitochondria Eve, the mother of all humans. Now, we have to understand that I know that a lot of people don't like to hear it, and it's been hidden from us for years, that Mitochondria Eve is who she is and how she would look at the time that she came. So now it's one of these things that we have to understand that for some reason, for so many years, that Caucasians have always tried to hide the fact that they originated from Africa. If you would trace everyone's DNA and mitochondria and gene and the genome of everyone, you'll find out that they came from Africa. And I'll get to a little bit later on why it's like that. I'm going to get to it later on and just tell you why it's, you know, we look different. Well, if they came from Africa and they came off of Mitochondria Eve, and Eve was a black lady, well, a later African lady, why do we look different? I'm going to explain that to you. And I'm going to go by some of the same, some of the greatest geneticists that we have. We people are, as we look back on things, we want to say that life originated as Caucasian, but that's not so. After we go to Gregoire Mendel, he'll tell us why it did not. See, Gregoire Mendel is the top geneticist, and he can tell us exactly what everything came from. He could tell all about the genome pools and everything about the genetics, the dominant genes, and the dominant and the recessive genes. We'll get to talking about that, and we'll find that through it all, everything came from this lady. Because now, with Mitochondria Eve, when you study about Mitochondria Eve, you're going to find out that around 300 and some years before Christ, there was also a man that they found remains of, a skeletal remains of a man who died, they say, 315 years before Christ in southern Africa. And in this man, they found that he is the closest relative yet known to humanity to the common female ancestry, Mitochondria Eve. He was so close a match to Mitochondria Eve. And they found out that he was a fisherman along the coast of southern Africa and was just that close a genetic match to Eve. But he was close to 100 and maybe 70,000 years, 180, 197,000 years before Mitochondria Eve, after her. So he was just down her genome line. But now they found him in a place that they call in South Africa, which is called, you can check it today, is St. Helen Bay in South Africa by archaeologists by the name of Andrew Smith, who's a professor at the University of Cape Town. Through sequencing our DNA and other things, they're able to find out who we are and where we come from. They could tell what color you are. They could almost tell you how you look during that time. Because I was doing my study and they were trying to give a picture of Mitochondria Eve and that if it was an Adam, how would he look? And so from there, but all of them were African, of African type. And when you're talking about the front that all humans alive today have mitochondrial DNA that was passed down from a common ancestor, and that common ancestor is called mitochondrial Eve, and she is an African female. She is not a Caucasian. We're going to begin to talk about some of the things about dealing with what happened. Now, we need to understand that if life originated in Africa, that the people were of a dark race. They were, they were African. And I would submit to anyone that if they would do a test on any European person from Europe, Caucasian European, and they would take that DNA, Ancestry.com, that they will come up that they have relatives that thousands of years ago they came from, that was Africa. It would show up, although they may not like to show it, but it would show up on their genome pool that they are in relationship or in a relative of mitochondrial Eve. Now, as I studied and as I was studying, I wanted to know, well, why do we look different if it came from out of Africa? What happened? What happened that we look so different? If all of us came from Africa, we all stem from Africa, we were all dark skinned, why are white people pink? No, there's no such thing as a white person, okay? And they don't want to, they know where they're originally from. And I want to submit that, this to you, that whites were never called white people until the 1600s, around 1669, somewhere in that area. And it happened in America. You were either known as an African, a European, a Chinese or from China, or Japanese, because you was from the homeland or country of China. And you was Europe, you was a European. But only in America they came with this white supremacy that I'm lighter than you, because if you look at a white piece of paper, you'll find out that there are no white people. That they'd have to be awful pale to be white. But now, as I continue to study and wanted to find out exactly what happened. Now, about 70,000 years ago, it came with out of Africa. Out of Africa. 70,000 years ago, after modern humans established themselves in Africa, a small population branched out to establish footholds in Asia before they started and headed east, at least headed east in Western Europe, and then later on finally reaching America. Well, what happened? Why do they look different? When we think about different viruses and other things, we go through, they talk about in biology how different animals came, a mutation of animals came, and one animal looked one way many thousands of years ago, and that animal changed by the environmental things that they were living in. Well, that's what happened with the Caucasians today. It's called a mutation. A mutation is a change of a structure of gene resulting in a variant form that may be transmitted to subsequent generations caused by alteration of a single base unit in DNA or deletion of those different DNA, like melanin. And melanin gives you color. If you delete the melanin, then you turn pale. are the insertion or rearrangement of large sections of genes. A mutation is ultimately the only way in which new variations enter a species. Now, and what that tells me, that from that, you'll find that just by looking at the definition of a mutation, you'll find out that whites are variation of the black race, that they're leaving out of Africa, and that diet change, the conditions in which they lived and the subsequent condition in which they lived in their diet, cold weather, not hot all the time and arid, and the DNA change, different parts of the gene were deleted and inserted and rearranged. And this is why they look different from the other Africans in which they really originated from. And to go even further in depth about that mutation, one of the top geneticists and botanists, his name is Gregoire Mendel. That's Gregoire Mendel. That's Gregor Mendel, Mendal, the science of genetics in which he studied. Now, this is something that and he's Caucasian. Mendel came up, and Mendel have Mendel's law too, but Mendel came up and Mendel says that black and brown skin is dominant. That light skin or whites, so-called whites, is a mutation and it's come from a recessive gene. Caucasians have recessive gene. They are recessive gene. Blacks have dominant gene. The blue-eyed person have recessive gene because they're a mutation off of a brown-eyed person. A brown-eyed person have dominant gene. DNA genetics come from a mutation. That's why you don't find many people in the world like they have with blue eyes as compared to brown eyes, because it is a mutation that came off of blacks. What are you talking about? Can you make it simple? Can I make it simple? Well, Professor Gregoire Mendel, again, as I said, Mendel is a Caucasian. Mendel's law teaches that dark skin is dominant and light skin is recessive. Blue eyes is recessive and brown eyes is dominant. Now, listen that closely to what I'm about to tell you. Two black individuals, a black male and a black female, could come together and have an albino child, and that child would skin would be white, that child's eyes would be different, and would have like blonde-like hair. But if you take two whites together, they cannot produce what you call recessive genes, cannot make or have a black child, because two recessive cannot produce a dominant, but two dominant can produce a recessive. And what they're saying, that meant that they had to come from blacks, that they are a mutation from blacks. And majority of whites who are pretty studious and have studied, they know it. But I don't really think that they would like to say it, because that would make them, when you're saying something is a recessive, that means it's lower. Or you came from somewhere else and it's almost lower. So that's it. And I don't, when I think about that, about the dominant and the recessive genes, I don't think that no man is any better than the other, because I would be in the shape with those who are racist. And that's why we have today institutional racism, which can also be known as systemic racism, because people went through a mutation, but they know that they are a mutation of you, but still they want to think that they are above you. Now, systemic racism or institutional racism is a form of racism that is embedded in a normal practice within our society. And that's what is built in our everyday life, the way it's governed. Racism is already perpetrated in our society as a normal practice within the society or any organization it could be in. So we have to understand about these issues, such as discrimination or criminal justice system, employment or house. All this stuff comes from a mutant group of people that came from spun off of a black. But now they want to say that they are better than the people who they came from. Now, I submit to you today that, and if you want to do further research on it and find out more information on it, you will find out exactly what I'm talking about when you look up the population of whites in the world. When you look up the population of Caucasians on the globe, you'll find out it's less because they are a mutation of black. You'll find out that they are less Caucasian than any other ethnic groups in the world. For instance, if you would look up the population of white folks in this world, if it was 100%, there would be 11.5%. In essence, is 850 million whites, so-called whites, or European, or is people all over the world. But you have to understand, that may sound like a large number, but it's not large because it's 7.5 billion. In just Africa alone, you have over a billion people. And that's not counting in the rest of that's in on the African continent. It's over 1 billion. That's not counting when you leave out of Africa and go in the Caribbean, where they have 48 million, and you come to America and you have about 42 to 48 million, or you go to Canada, which have roughly a million African people, or you go to Mexico, and it's 1.5 million Africans in Mexico, or 15 million Africans that live in Brazil, 400,000 that live in Australia, 159,000 in Argentina, and 8 million people of African descent that live in Europe. So you're looking at close to one. And if blacks with you account all those as African, you'd be almost 1.2 billion people of African descent. So it's way more Africans than there are European, because they came off of. Now, the other races have more melanin, and they also came off. The Japanese, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, as you can see it in the people from India. You can see it from the people from India. Matter of fact, they have people, Africans, that live in India. They're of the dark race. You could go to different other places and you'll find blacks all in the Pacific, in the area of the Pacific Rim. Go to Australia. The indigenous people of Australia is called Aboriginals. And they're very, very dark skinned, but they have straight hair. But they're dark, dark. You could tell that they are African, but the hair texture. And I want to put this. All Africans don't have the natural woolly hair, and that now they don't have to have been inbred with colonizers before the colonizer came. they had Africans that were not black as tar. Most of the real dark Africans came from around the Sudan and Uganda and areas right around that equator, around the Sahara. But different other places in Africa, they look like the regular what you call a Negro or whatever you want to call that's African Americans in America today. Some of them are brown. That doesn't mean that they have to be a certain color to be an African. So when we look at it, we need to do some in-depth studying to find out exactly where did we come from. And that's why I keep bringing that up on each night we come there, because I want you to get this in your head. They came from us. We did not come from them. We are not a second-rate people. We are the original people. When they were still in Europe in caves, Africa had brick homes, had stone homes, mud and stone buildings, multi-stories high, cooked food, brought in the Bronze Age and metallurgy long before it ever was in Europe. But again, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to reiterate it as we go along. He who write the narrative make the people be the color they want them to be and make the people that they want to be successful be successful. Case in point, for some reason, the Bible would tell you that those who was in Egypt were black. But now we say we believe in Christianity and we believe in the Bible. But when white folks show it, because the pyramids over 40 stories high, some, they want to say that make blacks be dumb, whereas you're too dumb to build this because we were not able to do it. So they'll want to say, they'll show a picture when they show the movie of Moses and others. What you'll find out is they have white people playing it, Caucasians, who didn't live over there at that time. So those things that we need to teach the children, and I'm not just saying teach black children, but I'm talking about this should be taught to all children, the true history of the world, the true history of America. We should teach them. We talk about Columbus discovering America. Well, and I'm going to go into some biblical things too, but before I do that, before Columbus ever set foot in America, they had the Olmec people that was in Mexico and other places. And if you want to look it up, each thing, when I'm telling you different things, I would like you to look it up. Because if you look it up, you'll find out I'm telling you the truth. The Olmec people is spelled O-L-M-E-C. They were African, broad nose, big lips, and they have their colossal head to prove. Some was 900 years before Christ. Some were 1,200 years before Christ. But some of them were 14. These statues, but we'll call them statues, colossal here, made out of stone. Some were 14 foot tall, as high as a house. Some were 9 feet tall. Statues. And so the people left and told you who they were. Now, it's important that you understand that there are 17 of these colossal heads that have been discovered in different places in Mexico, called as Mesoamerica. Some of them were in La Venta, Santa Cruz, Perez, Tabasco, Zapote, Veracruz. These are just some of the places that you could find these colossal heads, and it'll tell you who was the early settlers of that region. And they were not Caucasian. Long before, and it was told that, said like blacks never travel anywhere on shift. And in Egypt, the Egyptians and those who were Moors people, they were able to travel all over the world long before Europeans ever made any voyages. That these people were able to travel all over. But the thing about those things, that these things are hidden. And they've been hidden from us for so many years until we forget about exactly who and what it's all about. And I grew up in Mon, and I used to talk to, I never forget, the Muslim came to our community, and to me it was something new. And they had me and others going around talking about that the Bible was the white man's book. Now, I submit to you today that the Bible could be better considered as the black man's book. As I came back and I started, grew up, because I grew up in the Black Baptist Church, and my mother and father were staunch believers in Jesus Christ, and since I grew up in it, I wanted to find more about it. And I later on in life, I ended up going to seminary, and I would read it, and just not read it. I was so interested, I began to study it. And when I began to study the Bible, I found out that the Bible could have been better said to be a black man book or a book of color than European. Now, you may think because that there are Europeans that's in the Holy Land today, that means that the original Hebrew Israelites were white. And that's so far from the truth. That is, it's an insult to even try to lie to somebody and tell them that they were European. A European could never be an Israelite. Now, I was reading the other day, and I was looking at the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, they were talking about the people around the Khazars, which is right around Turkey, Persia. And a lot of them, after they were in captivity in Persia, a lot of the people in Persia took up the religion of the Hebrews. Or the Israelites. They took it up. They were not, but they took up the religion. Most of the whites that's there today, they're not Hebrew Israelites. They're just Caucasian. First of all, if you go in the 10th chapter, starting at that first verse, either second or third verse, they'll tell you that Japheth is, you can find out Japheth is the father of the European race. Of the Caucasian race. And Japheth had a grandson named Ashkenaz. Now, though the call itself Ashkenaz Jews, the ones that's in the Holy Land today, but you can't be an Israelite or a Hebrew unless you come from the lineage of Shem. You can't be off of Japheth. That, you're a Caucasian. And to come to find out, if you look up where Ashkenaz from, they're from Caucasia, they're from Lithuania, and they're from Russia. The other ethnic group is Khazars. Now, the Khazars from a little bit above Turkey. And then there's Serfdom, they're from around Portuguese and Spain. really more Spaniards. So all these people that's there today are not Hebrew Israelites. I did a study and when I was getting my master's, and I wrote a thesis, and it was the presence, when I learned a lot about the African presence in the Holy Bible, I learned that Ham was supposed to be the black guy. And that's by many, many white scholars and all say that, and that he was the progenitor, meaning he was the father of the dark race and Ethiopia. And they say Egypt, which name during that time was Mezerim. That's the biblical, earlier biblical name of Egypt is Mezerim. Because Ham had sons. He had put Cush and Mezerim. Put would be the father of the Libyans, but now he also had a grandson whose name was Canaan, and Canaan was black, and he lived in what we call Jerusalem, the Holy Land now, because one of his grandsons' name was Jabez, and Jabez is, that's what Jerusalem is named after, J-E-B-U-S, Jabez. But this is not time. But then I was so curious. I wanted to know something. I wanted they give a timeline. I say 4,000 years ago, who lived around Ur of the Chaldees of Mesopotamia, and they said some people that were Sumerians. And I wanted to know how did the Sumerians look. They said a Sumerian was chocolate color, with stoop noses. And when I heard that means thick. I'm going like, wait a minute. That's an African. That's not a white person. It's not a white person. Chocolate is real dark. It's not a light dark. Chocolate is dark. And I began to think, and I'm going like, wait a minute. And then I even did a little further, and that's where Abraham came from. I read it a little further that when they were building the Tower of Babel, Ham's grandson was leading the charge to build the Tower of Babylon, Nimrod. That part of the world was called the Land of Nimrod. Now, they know if Nimrod is Ham's grandson, he's black. God called him a mighty warrior, a mighty hunter. Okay, that's the first person God called that. But anyway, so that means black people was there. It's called the Land of Nimrod. Well, that's where Abraham came from. And I start thinking, I begin to think about different things in the Bible. If Japheth went to Europe, and he left out the Bible in the 10th chapter, 10th or 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. At the very beginning of the Bible, whites left and went to Europe. But then I went further and looked in Zondervan, Zondervan, Zondervan Bible Dictionary. I looked up the definition of Ham, and Ham, the definition was the progenitor of the dark race or the African. And when they said the progenitor of the African or the dark race, they start naming them. They said Noah had Cush, which is Ethiopia. He had Mezerim, which is Egypt. He had Put, which is Libya, and he had Canaan, which is the Holy Land. And I'm going like, whoa, now, wait a minute. But then when that was the definition of Ham, but they made a more profound, I know who Japheth is, and I know who Ham is, but they said that Ham was not the progenitor of the Negro race. And I thought about something. When I was a kid, I'm a product of the 50s and 60s. And I thought about it. That's what they call us Negroes, even to the day. Some white still call us Negro. But it says that Ham was not the father of the dark Negro people. And so because they could only be the children of Shem. And that's the godly line. That's who God, who Abraham was with. And then I started putting things together. I went back and I really reread about where they say the Garden of Eden was after I learned about certain things that the life started in Africa. The Euphrates and the Tigris River, they say the Euphrates, Tigris is what they call the Hidika River. But it does not run the same way that the Bible says run. Now, the Euphrates is where they say it is. It's over there around, we call Babylon, what they do, it ran through Babylon. Now, what we call Iraq today. But then they had two other rivers. The Bible talks about how that this river went in the Four-Head River. But then they say the Gihon and the Pishon River. But now you have to understand the Gihon and the Pishon River and all the scholars say it's the Nile River, but the Nile River run in Africa. You have the Blue Nile and the White Nile, but if you go even further, you'll find out that when you get around Egypt, it spread out even more. So now, I'm wondering now, they said that river that ran through the garden, it encompassed the land of Havilah. Havilah is Cush, meaning it's Ethiopia and Somaliland. Somaliland is Somalia. That's in Africa. And then I put it all together. All the land mass was journeyed together. That's why the Bible talk about lions, and you don't see lions today. You don't see different cheetahs and all kind of other hippos and things that the Bible talk about. You don't see any of that today. But what you do see is that they made what they call the Suez Canal. They did a canal that ran through and separated Africa from the Holy Land. But at the same time, I want you to understand this, that all of that, all the Holy Land was what you call North Africa. North Africa. And I will submit to you that being North Africa, that the people were Africans of African descent. Now, I told you about that, but now listen to what I'm about to tell you. I'm going to explain something to you. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees of Mesopotamia. This is your Bible, starting in about the 12th chapter of the book. Now, remember what I told you. A white folk, Japheth, left out the Bible in before the around the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, not to come back to about 300 years before Christ. So you're looking at almost 2,000 years, totally not in nowhere in the Bible. So you have to understand where I'm going with this, because I told you I thought that the Bible was a white man's book until I started reading it, and then I found out that Abraham came and he was supposed to go to this land. God told him to leave his father and his kingdom, but he didn't do it. He took his father, he took his brother's son, Lot, with him, and he began to traverse the country. He passed through the Holy Land, which was going to be given to him. And he went to Egypt because a famine was in the land. He got there and he lied about being his wife. But after you travel further, after God made the covenant with him, you have to understand that when Abraham had Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons who, after God had made the covenant with Abraham, call Abraham a covenant that all nations would be blessed through him, and see to be like the sand of the sky, the star of the sky, and the sand of the sea. In other words, he was going to bring about a great nation. But when you really look into it and just study it, you're going to find out that how, if Africa, and you study your history correct, Egyptology and things, because a lot of things about Egyptology been did by Europeans who wanted to make everything look people, or make all the people that did anything look like them. Well, I want to know is, and it came to my mind, Joseph went there before Moses, and Joseph was Jacob's son who the brother sold into bondage. Well, Joseph was in Egypt. The people had to look like he was sold to Midianites, which would be more of Ethiopia, and they sold him to Egyptian. When Joseph's brothers came because of famine within the land to buy food to eat, they thought that their brother was an Egyptian. So they looked just alike. Then if you take it even further, when Moses, hundreds of years, about 400-some years later, Moses killed an Egyptian and ran off into the land of Midian, and that's the Ethiopian country. And he met his wife Zipporah, where Zipporah went and told her father, Reuel, that they had found an Egyptian. So, and Egypt was black. Well, they knew what color they were. That tells you what color the people are right there. All the time you pass it for that. Moses' children were black because the original Hebrews were black, and he married an Ethiopian black woman, which most of them was Nubian from around the Sudan at that time. If you even look at the people from Assyria and you go far back 4,000 years ago, they got the nappiest little beard and they wear the hair all twisted up just like they wear like some of the kids wear today. If you continue to go through your Bible, you'll find out that even if they say that Judah is the chosen line, Judah's son died and Judah saw his daughter-in-law, Veil, and didn't know who she was. He went into her, and she got pregnant. When he got ready to stone him, she gave him his signet ring and his staff. Out of that came twins, Perez and Zerah. Well, Perez had a son named Hezron. Hezron had Solomon. Solomon ended up marrying the black prostitute Rahab. Now, both of them black now married the black prostitute Rahab, the Canaanite woman. That was at Jericho. So they have a child, and that child's name is Boaz. Boaz married Ruth. Ruth had Obed. Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had King David. You know what color the people are. Remember what I told you. Remember I told you to look and find out. You'll find out even in, I think that's Acts, the 21st chapter and the 38th verse. They even say that the people, that the Romans thought Paul, the Apostle Paul, was an Ethiopian. When Jesus was a baby, they took him to black Egypt to hide him. So it's one of those things. It's just so much that we need to be aware of. See, Judah, who Jesus came from, Judah is the regal tribe of the house of Israel. Negroes, made up of Negroes. And to even make you even know it's true, your neighbor should know who live next door. If you have a neighbor that live next door, that neighbor know who you are. Well, and those that are in the Holy Land right now was put there by America. They were put there by America, Britain, France, and others. They put whites in the Holy Land and gave them a land. They were nomadic people. Those who were there were called nomadic people. They just were traveling. So Hitler and the Germans didn't want them in Germany. Russia didn't want them in Russia. America and other countries gave them a homeland. And they gave them the Holy Land. And took take good care of them even to this day. But be listen to what I'm about to say. The president of Egypt in the early 50s was Gamal Abdel Nasser. That's G-A-M-A-L. That's Gamal Abdel A-B-D-E-L, Abdel Nasser, N-A-S-S-E-R, Nasser. In 1952, he made a speech on national television. And in that speech, he told what color, he let us know what color the original Hebrew was, or is. In his speech, he said, the Europeans claiming to be Jews are no more than Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. He said, how can a man leave black and come back white? We refuse to accept them. So what this tells me is that you can't be a white person and be an Israelite because your neighbors know who you are. The people that's the Arabs and the other people over there know who you are. So when I'm saying things, these are facts that I'm bringing up to you. This is nothing that I'm saying that you can't research on your own. That's why I gave you the name Gamal Abdel Nasser. It was his. You look it up. His speech in 1952 on national TV. How can a man leave black and come back white? We refuse to accept these. You say the Hebrew-speaking Gentile. Now, this is what he said. The European, you Europeans claiming to be Jews are no more than Hebrew-speaking Gentile. How can a man leave black and come back? How can a man leave black and come back white? The Arab League refused to accept them. Now, and even going further with it, I told you that all you have to do if you want to look up about the definition of Ham in the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, it will tell you that Ham was the progenitor of the African race, but not the Negroes. So with all that saying, he tells us who the people are. And I would even submit to you, if you look up Beta Israel, they're going to take you to the Ethiopian and say Ethiopian Jews. Well, when you're talking about an Ethiopian Jew, people wanted to say they were not, but they found out that throughout they found out the tribe of Dan, was really Ethiopia. They call them Phalacia, Beta Israel. Now, then when they looked up later, they had people in South Africa around Zimbabwe. And the people were worshiping the way they worship in the Old Testament. And when they asked them, they say that they were Israelites and that they were the real Israelites. And these people were from Duke University that was over there, and they wanted to find out whether or not it was the truth. So they took their DNA, and when they took their DNA, they found out that they were true Israelites. They found out that they were the original Israelites, that they were the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. Now, the Igbos say that they are Judah, and no one could deny it. Now, they may be the children of Israel. I've already told you that when you go back and look at it, the Sumerians were Semitic people. Their color was charcoal or chocolate, and they had short, stoop noses. And I told you what Gamal Abdel Nasser said about a person leaving black and coming back white. That's why the Arab people would not accept them. The Arab people know that they're not the original people that were there. So I'm of the opinion, through all my research, I know what color the children of Israel were. When I'm knowing Moses passed for Egyptian, everyone, Joseph passed for him. Every time they go around blacks, I could put all black kids in a room and then send a white kid and put that white kid in the room. And everybody know that the kid is not the original color, is not white. They'll know it. If you have a room full of African-American kids and you bring a Caucasian kid there, well, everybody know that the African-American kid is out of place. And so would Moses have been, being the son of Pharaoh. I'm going to say this. Pharaoh, during the time of Moses, said, kill all the firstborn of the Hebrew from 2 years old to the birthing stool, as they were born. Kill them all, because that person was supposed to take over and be the king. Moses' mother hid him out and put him in a basket and put him in the water. He hadn't been weaned. Still a baby. And his sister, Miriam, after she put him in the Nile River, this little basket with pitch, is like tar to make it float, floats down, and Pharaoh's daughter is bathing with her maids and see this basket coming with a child. She takes the child and raise him as her child, and Pharaoh, the one that say kill all the firstborn Hebrew children, raised Moses as his grandchild. Now, if he would have been white and if it was black Egypt, then he knew that that wasn't his grandchild, and everybody would have known it, and that he would have went back on what he was saying. But being that they looked alike, he couldn't tell that he was an Egyptian. Moses grew up in the house as Pharaoh's grandson. Even in the book, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrew, he said that when Moses became grown, Moses refused to be called her child. They all looked alike. They were black. The only person that would have felt out of place if you'd have brought a Caucasian, the prophets. And this is what's so ironic about it. When you watch television, what you see on television, all the apostles, all the prophets, Jesus, the patriarch Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and a picture of a white God and a white Adam and Eve. And now you know that it all started in Africa and they were black. It couldn't have started from white because you can't get nothing but a pale color from white, but you can get you can get someone that look white off of two blacks, an albino. And really, that's really when from now on when I look at whites, I see a mutation of an albino. That's what I'm seeing. A mutation of an albino. And it's time that we tell our children the truth. It's time, and it's really, really time that in school that they stop teaching kids lies. America need to quit teaching people a lie. The church, and especially the Catholic Church need to tell people that it was Pope Nicholas who signed the referendum that okayed slavery. That was, again, that was Pope Nicholas the VI that signed that referendum. And like I said, the term white people started in the United States of America in 1680 and was not ever used in Europe at that time. So when we're dealing with that, you have to understand that people would rather teach that Columbus discovered America, that the Indians were savages and blacks had never been to the so-called New World, and that the people came here honest, instead of telling those lies, they didn't come honest. If I had to rewrite it, I don't think people would like to hear the way I would write the new history book. Because I'd be just blatantly, I would just tell the truth. I would flat out tell the truth to everybody that I would say a bunch of terrorist savages came on ships to America, killed indigenous people, stole their land, not stole the land, gave them disease, polluted the country, and now have the audacity to tell other people, go back where you come from. And they are the foreigners. Come to find out that blacks was there before they got there. Blacks might have been in America before some of the indigenous people were here. When you look at the Olmec people and things like that, you'll find out that they had people all over in America. So it's so much that dealing with it, and I wanted to more or less stay on that side of the water before I come to this side of the water. But I wanted us to understand that life originated in Africa. When you find that life originated in Africa, you have a foothold that you can start. Because you can look it up. Like all you have to do is do the anthropologist. All you have to do is deal with the paleontology. That's who found the paleontologist, the one that found Lucy. You study about, know the name of the different doctors, the ones that made the discoveries of different things, like Douglas, like Mary Douglas Leakey and her husband Louis Leakey. Find out about the mutation and why different people have different colors. And learn about mutation from Gregoire Mendel, Mendel's laws. I didn't share that tonight with you, but we'll get to that about Mendel's Law. And it helped to open you up to exactly what it is, what exactly how everything came into being. Mendel's Law. So, and now, before we go too far, I want to just say to all that are listening tonight, it's incumbent upon us that we must vote. It is incumbent upon us to tell our children who they are. Teach them, not just in February, about Black history or world history. Teach them the true world history. But then teach them the love of God. Let them know that they didn't come from a mutation, but someone else came from a mutation. Teach them that they are a blessing and not a curse. Teach them being dark skinned is not a curse. We have been so bad till we have a self hate. We've been taught through the people of Europe, anything black is bad. Black ball, you kicked out of a club. Black, you wait at funerals. The darkness is evil. You know, the guys in blacks are the guys, if you watch cowboy movies, you could tell the good guys have on white and the bad guys have on black. Everything is black is bad. The black cat, bad luck. But then if you look around, you get a white cat, it's an albino. It's an old breed. A white horse is an albino horse. A thoroughbred is a brown or a black horse. You don't see, when you talk about people buying expensive horses and they go buy a thoroughbred, it's not going to be a white horse, because a white horse is not a thoroughbred. It's no more than an albino. You find a white alligator, it's rare. It's albino. That's why I told you about the populations of white in the world today. Why it's less than the other races, other dark people with melanin, is less than them than anything, because they are a rarity, especially if they got blue eyes with it. And we think that blue eyes is so cute, and it's not really cute. It really is a defect in your genes. By Caucasian scientists and geneticists and botanists. And so it's so much that we can learn. We need to quit as a race of people. And what I've taught tonight wasn't just for African American, but it was for everybody, because in America, we won't teach the truth. We want to teach real history. When we teach about the Bible, we teach a bunch of lies, because we make everybody white, and that they didn't have white people in that area during that time. Jesus himself wouldn't have been a Caucasian. Him being of the tribe of Judah, he wasn't. So the things that have been perpetrated against the African race and against those of us that's here, whether we're Israelites or whoever we are, is so subhuman, is below, is lower than you could ever get. And if you find out any way Caucasians or so-called white folk went and they conquered and they stole people's natural resources, they stole whatever they do. It's like having a bunch of pirate thieves that go around to other places and steal what other people have. that is your European. Okay? Those are your European. And so when you're dealing with Europeans, that's what you're dealing with. A bunch of people. And I want to deem the Europeans, those are who are Caucasian, and this and that's what I'm saying. It's bad and good in everyone. They're always holy person when they see us, but you are the big crooks. All you have to do is look at history. You've always been the big crooks. So I want to just say thank you. If I have anybody have any questions, you welcome to ask. I'm standing by.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for an awesome show. The line is now open. If there are any questions, comments, and statements for Dr. Kemp, you are on the air now. God bless you. You're on the air.
You sound listening.
I didn't hear that.
Hello? Hello, you're on the air.
I hear a voice.
Huh?
I heard someone say something, but then it. I didn't understand what was said.
Me, the pastor. And they're not repeating it, so they're still there, but I don't know. Okay. Well, go ahead, Pastor. They're not saying anything now.
Okay, well.
Hello?
I'm sorry.
There they are, Pastor. Hello? Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my phone for some reason dropped out. I'm experiencing some bad weather where I am. But I want to thank both of y'all. Thank God for y'all and bring the program. Thank Pastor Kemp for bringing us that information. And it's just a blessing. I wish it was some kind of way that we could get all of the pastors to start working together to cause them to make this knowledge part of the everyday functioning of the generation, the younger generation education. Because like Pastor Kemp said, we come from a segregated environment. And these young people now have no earthly idea what that really means. But we have been miseducated when it comes down to us as a people. And we really, really, it's important that these children get this because we don't want to repeat what has happened in the past.
Absolutely.
I totally agree with everything you said. For some reason, we have been told when you start speaking concerning African Americans or speaking of something, they say it's not biblical, but you're supposed to refute sin. If people are teaching you that you're nothing, you need to bring about that change to let them know that you know who you are and whose you are.
Hmm.
And that love's supposed to permeate through everywhere. That's why ever so often during the time I talk, I let them know it was for Caucasians too, to listen at what I was saying. And I wasn't trying to just chop people down that's not of the African-American race, but I was here to tell the truth. And that's why when I spoke, I would always let them know I was speaking from those things that would, these were your top Caucasian or white botanists, geneticists, anthropologists, paleontologists, what I was quoting and I was talking about, if I was talking about Australopithecus or Zanzanthropus, I was speaking from the research that Mary Douglas Leakey and Louis Leakey dealt with, okay, Zanzanthropy, and that's the studies, them studying of Northeast Africa. Those things, and that mankind came from Africa, and that mitochondria Eve is the mother of all people living today that ever lived. and they found her fossil was found, and they dated to be 200,000 years. So now, all white folk have her DNA. Chinese, Japanese, every contemporary, in other words, every race on the planet carry her DNA. But it just so happened that by the way we look, that it's that we didn't go through what you call a mutation, so we look more like her. So we carry more strong her DNA because with the mutation, sometime with mutation what happened, some of your genome stuff is your gene is deleted. Some of them have been just interrupt or go defective like, and that's how it came about. That's why I told you that you don't find many people with blue eyes. You could go to a whole lot of whites or Caucasians. You're not going to find many with blue eyes because it's a mutation. It's a defect. Brown eyes is dominant. Blue eyes is recessive. That's why you go to Japan, China, and all this. They don't have blue eyes. I told you there was 850,000 Caucasian, and I don't know if you have 3 million. I don't think you have 100 million of them with blue eyes. So it's just a small population. They are really albinos, and they know it. Believe me, they know who they are, but they refuse to teach it to their children because their children, what have happened, the way school is taught and the way our children is brainwashed, that they never accomplish anything, that they never did anything because everything have been whitewashed. They even, when the paint peel off the pyramid, they lighten the skin of the people, knowing that that you're not dumb and you know during the time that Egypt was controlled by the Nubians. And they didn't know the Nubians black as some of us from the Sudan. And them some of the darkest people you won't find. But they were whitewashed things, and that's how history has been whitewashed. They fall behind the Catholic Church. Pope Nicholas the one signed the referendum for slavery. So it's so much. Open it up. Tell the truth. Tell the truth that a bunch of savages came to this country and found the native people here or the indigenous people here and killed them, raped them, gave them disease, and took the land. That's the true history. That's the true history of America. Tell the truth. That's what happened. Came over and almost, even if they were so, it's like kidnapping people and bringing them here. Raped them, hung them, burned them, lynch them, everything you could do, sodomize them, working from sun up to sundown, build a whole country off of 9 million people working for free, and build up a whole economy of a country. Some say 4, some say up to 9 million. Worked sun up to sundown, coffee, tobacco, indigo, sugar, and cotton. Is what grew America. I don't care if you lived up north or the south. If you say, well, we was up north and we had factories. Your factory, they made textile. You can't, there's no code, nothing to hold that cohesiveness. The cohesiveness of the textile comes from cotton. So therefore, you needed that. So that's what pumped America and made America the biggest and most powerful country in the world was slave labor. That's who built your railroad. That's who built your canals and your bridges. That's who built the White House. Tell the truth. Without them, it wouldn't be America. It's been said, and this is whites that even admit to this, from $17 to $19 trillion what the United States make in a year, that's how much is owed in reparation to blacks. That's what's owed to you. For over 250 years of not being paid a nickel, eating guts, and we made a delicacy out of them and called them chitterlings, stuff that they didn't want, a nasty lip a hog head cheese, pig lip. Boy, we take something and make nothing out of them. Pig feet. But we was able to live. Tell the truth. You know, and I appreciate you calling in, Brother George. I really appreciate you calling in. We need to teach our kids, and we need to teach them the positive and the negative that we're doing. There's so much that we're doing negative to our kids. So, also, I'd just like to say that in teaching them the negative, we need to teach them what we're doing wrong. But we need to get out and vote. We really, really need to get out and vote. And we need to get everybody that we know to get out and vote.
Amen.
We need to get rid of him. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Are there any more callers? Any more comments? I would like to talk to Dr. Kemp. The line is open for you. All right, Pastor. It's all yours, sir.
Well, I want to thank each and every one who tuned in tonight. I pray it was something said or something done in this broadcast that gave us more knowledge of where mankind came from, about different things dealing with your Holy Bible, about America, about black presence earlier in America, what color were the original Hebrew, and everything that I said, I could tell you how to look it up. And what's so ironic about that is it was written by Caucasian people. But for some reason, when they make movies and other things, everybody's portrayed to be Caucasian, and that's for a reason. So I just want to say God bless each and every one, and we need to come together as a people and quit killing one another. I lost my good friend, Reverend Mac Jones. I lost him to COVID-19. So my prayer is that we be safe and wear your mask, wash your hands, don't go around crowds of people, and just take care. God bless you and much love. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, for all that's been said and all that's been done in this podcast and radio show. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for past blessings, future blessings, and present blessings. Lord, we ask, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will build us up where we are torn down and that you will strengthen us where we are weak, Lord. Lead, guide, and strengthen us in the way that you would have us to go. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We bless your holy name. Lord, we pray, Lord, that those who have lost loved ones to COVID-19, that you would touch them and uphold them, Lord, as they go through their time of bereavement. Lord, I ask that you would stand by the bedside of those who are suffering with COVID right now, Lord. Lord, we know you, that you're a doctor in a sick room. You're a lawyer in a courtroom. And, Lord, I know you could do anything but fair. Oh, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, forgive us if we transgress against your holy word. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We ask that for enlightenment of the whole world. And let the world know all this hatred among races need to come to an end. And they should start teaching the truth about all the inventions and all the great things and things that were built by African-Americans and other nationalities, ethnic groups of people. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Protect our children as they go to school and stand by bus stops and as they go in harm's way with COVID-19, Lord. We have a president that doesn't care about how many people die. We're north now of 200,000 people plus. In other words, we're north of that number. And study heading up before election time. and it's in an upswing of COVID-19. We ask for protection and guidance. We ask in all this in love and care. And, Lord, we want to just thank those who call in and bless Brother George and his family. I would like to just say bless Reverend William who have this broadcast and to just to make sure that we could touch hearts. He want to touch the people's heart and mind. He want the people to learn of themselves. He want them to study the Bible and study to show themselves approved, Lord. He's a man after God's own heart. He's like David, a man after God's own heart. We just ask that you continue to anoint him and give him the strength and fortitude to continue to go forth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. 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 God bless you, Dr. Kemp. What a powerful show. Everyone, don't forget to turn on tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be back. The men and women God come together as P31 ladies and the men of valor. We look forward to seeing you. Same station. We'll see you tomorrow night. Have yourself a blessed evening. We love you all. And as Dr. Kim lets you know, every week ain't nothing you can do about it. We're going to keep spreading the love all over the world. Have yourself
Amen.
A blessed evening. Good night, everybody. We love you.
Peace. You've been listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. LaVert Kemp. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. LaVert Kemp, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're family. We are dying,
we are dying.
They are lying, hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be,
I'm just trying to be.
Great as I can be,
great as I can be.
Grow with one another, living happily,
living happily.
But you hurting me,
you hurting me.
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love you.
I love you.
Why we hurting?
Why we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
love to all? Can you feel the grace?
Can
family?
You feel the grace?
Breathe
family.
Another day.
Breathe another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love. I love you, my people. I love
my
you, my
people.
People. I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people. We're family.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering while I say, oh,
it's
time
to know.
Oh,
I love you.
Oh, it's time to be.
I love.
Monday, Breaking Chains, the special assignment, 7 p.m. Central, a show to feature individuals, businesses, organizations, and ministries about what they're doing for the community. Tuesday, Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp, a show designed to learn about our history as a people. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Wednesday, Breaking Chains with the men and women of God, discussing the issues of our community and world events. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. Thursday, Breaking Chains with the men of valor, brotherhood, coming together to discuss issues that need to be addressed and confronted. Every Thursday, Breaking Chains, a talk show for the people to express themselves and let their voices be heard. Breaking Chains, call in and let your voice be heard at 858-357-9137 or live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, YAT Radio, or send us an email at youngadultstalk@gmail.com. It's Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Young Adults Talk is Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.